Welcome to Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag NowChurch. Thank you, and enjoy today's service.
Welcome you once again. I'm Pastor Richard Parenchief, the senior pastor and founder here, and we got a lot coming on. Today we're continuing our series where we've been talking about honoring Jesus as warrior king. My message is simply called this, When Jesus Comes on the Scene. When Jesus comes on the scene, I'm reading from the inerrant, the inspired, the infallible word of the living God, which is able to save us and change us. The Bible is not just a history book. It's not just an ancient book. It's a book that you can read as current, more current than the newspaper, if you remember back when we used to have newspapers. Anyway, Matthew 21 is where we're going to begin. This is from something Pastor Chris said last week that really inspired me from Palm Sunday. Matthew 21:9. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. They're praising him. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? It's a great question today. Who is this? So the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. Then Jesus got off that donkey and he went into the temple of God and he drove out all those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he said to them, It is written, My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves. I want to weave in 1 John chapter 3 from the end of verse 8 says this, For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He came to destroy the power of hell, the power of demons, the power of nightmares, the power of broken dreams. He came to set captives free. Let's pray one more time. God, open the eyes of our heart today. And Lord, I ask you to reveal Jesus to those who have come to this place, on this property today. Let them see that it's not about a show or a helicopter or candy. Those are things we want to do to show your goodness to the children of the next generation. But Lord, we want them to see you and to know you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week we talked about fear, overcoming fear. If you weren't here or you're newer, I invite you to look at our website, nowchurch.tv or nowchurch.com. You can look at last week and just see we had a really powerful time talking about breaking fear. That a lot of the problems that we face are very fear-based. So, certain things, even in the back of your mind, that you don't realize, you wouldn't say, somebody said, are you afraid of this? I'm not afraid of that. But it's something that's deep-seated within you. I want to ask you today, have you ever experienced, anybody know what serendipity is? I know it's an old rom-com, but serendipity is when it looks like something bad is happening, but it turns out to be a good thing. It's actually, the definition is a happy accident or a fortunate accident. You expect one thing, and you get disappointed when it doesn't happen, but you actually have something better that actually takes place. Well, we're about to receive our 35th birthday. We're about to celebrate 2 weeks from today. Our 35th birthday is Now Church in just a couple of weeks. My wife and I came up here from Orlando and started this church, I can't believe it, 35 years ago, May 1st. We were 29 years old. We had a dream and a vision, and we came expecting to stay and build something long-lasting. But we had to fight for some hallelujahs. We had to go through some tough things, and it was very difficult. We started meeting in a rented old warehouse that had been a lawnmower shop down the road toward Bellevue here. But we needed a new place after a few years, so we raised about $25,000. We only had a church of maybe 150 people. It was a big deal to raise that much money. And we signed a contract to rent the old Cash and Carry Plaza building on Maricamp that is now the Church of Hope. But we had signed to have that, to rent that building about 31 years ago. And that very weekend, the whole plaza sold to some big conglomerate in Miami that rejected our deal and broke our hearts. I mean, we were ready to go. We had prayed over it. We took the congregation. We showed them the building. And then this conglomerate said, we're not getting enough money from you. And we had negotiated. It was like, oh, yeah, it's all about money, right? So needless to say, we were very upset. But at that time, the administrator of our church was my father-in-law, who's in heaven now. At the time, he was always bugged every month when we paid the rent anyway. He said, I hate that we're throwing away money on rent. We need to buy something. I'm like, we got 150 people. We got $25,000. How are we going to buy anything? But he convinced me to let him look for land to buy instead of just renting. It sounded like a huge step for a small young congregation. But he found 8 wooded acres just to our south over this way. And he found right on the highway, right on 441. And again, we signed an offer, even matching the asking price of the family that was selling the 8 acres over there with trees on it. But once again, major disappointment. I don't know if you've ever been there. As the family that owned the land, because they just put up the sign and we came in and tried to buy it for the price they asked, they backed out of the deal saying, well, must not ask enough money. And it felt like a gut punch. Like, what are we going to do? Now, by this time, our landlord where we were renting knew we weren't going to stay there. And so he's like, you need to move. You need to get out. You need to go. So now we're a church that's about to be wandering in the wilderness. And it was uncomfortable. It really was like a gut punch. When they rejected us, my father-in-law noticed this property sitting here, already cleared for a pasture. There were cows and there were bees on the land. That's all that was out here. And he persuaded the owner to entertain our offer. Several times he said no. And then when he said yes, the bank said no. It was crazy. I felt like I felt lost. I felt broken. I felt, look, this is God, this is your people. You brought us up here, and for everything you have a purpose for, you have a place for. But I don't feel, I don't see the place. And we bought this land when he finally succumbed through a series of ups and downs, great expectations, then dashed hopes. The owner of the land finally said, okay, I'll take your $25,000. And then I'll let you pay me every year an annual payment for 5 years for the rest. And we said, okay, we're going to do it. Then we began to build. And when we began to build, listen, when we bought the land, they sold it to us as 22 acres of land. When we bought the land, when we actually went to build this building in 1995, what happened was they came and did a new survey, and the engineer of the property came and said, hey, Pastor, their survey was wrong. You didn't buy 22 acres. You bought 24 acres. I said, well, as long as he doesn't change the price, I'm good. Up to that time, everybody was out for the money, and I was just trying to build a church, trying to glorify God. Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who do two things, love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose. The Bible says we can be confident. We can be bold. We can be confident. We can be assured that if you love God and you understand that you want his purpose more than your purpose, like Jesus said, not my will, but your will be done. If you have that, then you can rest assured. You can take it to the bank. If you belong to Jesus, if you've asked him into your life by faith, you can rest assured that no matter what's going on in your life and how much hell you might feel is nipping at your heels, that God is going to turn that thing and cause it to be serendipity. He's going to flip the script at some point. That's why I call today when Jesus comes on the scene. Because when Jesus comes on the scene, he almost always does something unexpected. You may be surprised to discover that Jesus is quite different than you probably thought. Maybe the only time you hear Jesus' name is when somebody's cussing. Maybe, you know, some people, they don't know that Jesus Christ is real and alive in a person. Some people think, well, he came and founded Christianity. Yeah, but a lot of what you see out there is just pomp and circumstance. It's not heartfelt life change transformation. Jesus didn't come to found a denomination or a religion. He came to connect us to God. He's actually much more than you possibly can imagine. That's what the Bible says. And he can do more, much more than you can ask or even think. In fact, his love isn't a wimpy, sort of sappy human love. When we think of love, we think of just some kind of little sappy little emotion. But God's love, Jesus' love, is a kingdom force that heals broken hearts and sets hurting people free. He loves to untie knots in our lives and in our hearts. In the text today, in the triumphal entry of King Jesus into Jerusalem, the Jewish people expected the Messiah or Savior to come as a conquering king into Jerusalem, listen, to overthrow the tyranny of the government of Rome. But when he gets off the donkey, he goes into the temple and starts turning the tables on them. As they yelled Hosanna to the king. Listen, it's in all four Gospels. This is a part of the Bible. It's in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all had a picture of this day that we call Palm Sunday, the beginning of what we call Holy Week. But when Jesus got off the donkey, instead of dealing with the corruption of the Roman Empire, he went into the Jewish temple and turned the tables on the corruption of their religious traditions that robbed them of a meaningful relationship with the living God. They must have been shocked. No wonder they shouted for his crucifixion a week later, because he came in and did the unexpected thing. He dealt with corruption, all right. But he dealt with the fake. He dealt with the religious. In fact, Jesus said, by the religious traditions of men, you make the word of God, the Bible, powerless. Because you start worshiping the traditions instead of the power of God. One difference between religion and relationship with God that we preach here is simply this. Religion answers questions nobody's actually asking. Religion just starts telling you, well, you need to do this, you need to do that, you need to do this, and here's the rules. Here's the Ten Commandments, here's this, here's that. That's the purpose of the Ten Commandments was never to save us by obeying them. It was to show us that we're lost without God's intervention in our lives. That's the purpose of the Ten Commandments. Yeah, they're good. It's a good moral code, but that doesn't give you a relationship with God that gets you to heaven, or it brings heaven on earth either. And this is why we're gathered here today. Maybe you came here expecting a nice, easygoing religious Easter service. A few rituals. Lots of symbolism. Maybe a bunch of crosses. Maybe a bunch of standing and kneeling and bowing and whatever. Maybe a steepled building with pews inside. Some perfect people in suits and ties or robes. Can I tell you, when Pastor Lindsay said about these people in the choir, that just, as a pastor, that just breaks me down, because I see many people up here that even last Easter probably were in a completely different situation, because they didn't know that Jesus is alive. Everybody up here, Bam Bam's got a story, but they all have a story. We have a lady that was standing up here singing today who went legally blind a few years ago through some crazy botched surgery that wasn't even on her eyes. Today she's legally blind, but she's running the Boston Marathon this year as a blind person. And she's singing praises to God. You don't know what Tasha's been through. You don't know what these folks have been through. If you came in expecting, oh, there's the choir. Boy, they got it all together, don't they? Well, they do for that moment. And they have a direction. Your expectations aren't necessarily the way Jesus comes into his church today, or the way the power of the Holy Spirit moves as we gather together. As Jesus turned the tables over in the temple, he said in effect, you've made God's house into the wrong image. It's supposed to be a house of prayer, a place of praise and worship and connection with the presence of God, his power and his presence. But he said, instead you've made it a den of thieves. It's not about selling stuff at church. It wasn't about that. It was about religious rituals and routines with no room for the Holy Spirit to even move and heal people that are broken and lead people that are lost in direction. When Jesus came in differently than they expected, the very same people turned against him within a few days and demanded his crucifixion. What kind of sense does that make? You're shouting Hosanna to the king. And 5 days later, you're shouting, crucify him. So I ask you, what are you expecting God to look like in your life today? What will you do when Jesus turns the tables on you? What will you do when some of you, maybe you were raised in church and you saw all the religious stuff and so you got older and life happened and for whatever reason, you've been in a ditch on the side of the road somewhere. God has not forgotten you. We say around here, his love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out. He always shows up. No matter how far away you might have gone. Maybe you're raised and going to Sunday school and that kind of thing. What will you do when Jesus turns the tables on you today and says, I want your heart, not your religious ceremonies? Church is great. Listen, you can't really be a growing Christian without being a part of a local church. We believe that. We base our whole lives on it. But the church doesn't save you. What saves you is your relationship with him. It's only your relationship with him. It's that personal recognition where you give your heart to him and he comes in. Jesus came to set captives free. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he didn't look much like a king when he hung on the cross. Although they put up a sign mocking him, King of the Jews, beaten and bloodied and broken, he declared forgiveness to the very people that turned against him. It appeared to be the greatest defeat and disappointment that day. But in reality, the death, burial, resurrection of Christ from the dead turned out to be the greatest victory for mankind in all of history. Serendipity. Don't miss out on the greatest miracles by having the wrong expectations. What's our takeaway today on Easter Sunday? When Jesus comes on the scene, anything is possible. But you have to receive him into your heart by faith. The Bible says, to as many as received him, he gave the power to become sons and daughters of God. To as many as received him, not to as many as kept the rules, to as many who kept the Ten Commandments, to as many who were nice to people, to as many who were nice to pets and nice to their neighbors. That's great stuff, but that's not the relationship. The relationship is with Jesus. And he loves you, and he's here for you, and he wants to meet with you. I invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment today. His presence is here. And if you'll just close your eyes for a moment and forget about all the stuff, all the questions of your mind, all the questions. Maybe you've been going through something in your life. maybe these last few days or weeks, maybe you've lost someone and it's thrown you for a loop. Maybe it's just something that you still haven't recovered from COVID 5 years ago and all the trauma. Maybe you just come out of the military and you're looking for your identity now. I want you to know He loves you without qualification. He loves you because He loves you. He loves you no matter what you did last night or what happened to you last night, last week. He loves you because He loves you. He doesn't love you because of something. He loves you because He loves you. Jesus hanging on the cross was an act of love, the greatest love. No greater love than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. I invite you to open your heart today. In just a moment, I'm going to pray for people to be reconciled to God. I'm going to pray for people that are dead right now in this moment in trespasses and sins. You're dead because you've been following your own path. You've been following your own way. You've been doing it yourself. You've been trusting in your feelings, your emotions. And everybody says, trust in your heart. Well, don't trust your heart. The Bible says that the heart is wicked above all things. Don't trust your own heart. Trust the heart of God coming into your life and invite Him in. The Bible says that Jesus stands at the door of your heart and knocks. He said, if anyone opens the door, I'll come in. If you don't open the door, He's not going to break it down. But I believe that God knew that you would be in this room today or watching us from the overflow room or online. He's a mender of broken hearts. Sometimes we think, I've been through, nobody understands. Let me tell you something. The Bible says Jesus understands because in all ways He was touched as we are, yet without sin. He was tempted. He was beaten. He was mocked. I'm going to count to three in just a moment. All I want you to do, I don't want you to think about it. I don't want you to run this through your head. This is a spiritual issue. When I count to three, all I want you to do is lift your hand up, and I don't want your head to talk you out of what your heart knows is right in this moment. Don't let anything talk you out of it if this is you. Right where you sit. We're not going to have you come to the front of the room today, but I'm calling you to the altar of your own heart to get real, to be honest with yourself and with God, to open the door. And I want to remind you this. Even the journey of 1,000 miles starts with one small step. It's time for you to take that step. And we want to help you grow. This is not, the prayer is the beginning. We want to help you to move forward in relationship with Him. All over this room, when I count to three, I just want you to put your hand up in the air if you want me to pray for you. If you want me to pray. If you don't mean business with God, we're not asking you to play a game and pretend. Don't do this for anybody else. This is for you. One, listen, God made a perfect world. Sin and Satan messed it up. Jesus came to right every wrong, and now we can enter into His life and relationship. You don't have to go through this trying to figure it out anymore. You can have a relationship with the God who created you. Two, people say, well, I'll do this later. That's a great thought. I'll do it later by myself. You know, the Bible says you actually can't do it unless the Holy Spirit is drawing you. You can't decide when to come to Him. You can only respond when the Holy Spirit is moving. So I plead with you. Don't push God away. This is your moment. Every man, every woman, every boy and girl, from the front of the room to the back of the room, if you want me to pray for you, I'm going to pray right now. Three, put your hand up and keep it up. Put your hand up and keep it up. Put your hand up and keep it up. Father, I pray for everyone whose hand is raised, everyone whose heart is open. I give You glory and honor. We thank You, Lord, that You love us so much that You gave Your life that we might have life and have it abundantly. And Lord, I pray for everyone today who's responding this way, whether at home or in the overflow room or right here in this room. Thank you, Father, for people responding. Now, reveal yourself to them in a real way. Let them know beyond a shadow of a doubt in every step. Let the Word of God come alive in them. Those who've never understood the Bible, let them open it with brand new eyes, with brand new hearts, and reveal yourself to them and for them and through them. In Jesus' name. Now, those of you that with your hands raised, everybody in the both rooms, everybody in the room, say this out loud. Just say, Jesus, come into my life in a brand new way. I give you my heart. I want to honor you with my life. I am broken. And I need help. Lord, make me whole. In Jesus' name. And help me to grow in you. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to give it up for the Lord right now. Listen, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Those of you that raise your hands, in a moment we're going to dismiss you. We still have plenty of time. The helicopter's not going to be here for over 20 more minutes, okay? What I'd like you to do, if you raise your hands, we have a Bible for you. We have somebody who wants to help you. Our guy Antonio, right back here. Everybody look over your shoulder. Say hi to Antonio. Everybody wave at Antonio. Antonio. Anyway, Antonio, if you raise your hands right now, if you raise your hands before, please get up right now and go out with Antonio outside, just into the courtyard, just for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, okay? So Antonio, those of you in the overflow, if you raise your hands, please go out there. Come on, give them a good God bless you. This is what it's about. This is what Easter's about. This is what resurrection's about. That we're not too far gone for him. Amen. That just thrills my heart. Let's just give God glory. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for what you're doing. We give you honor and glory. Meet these people right where they are and help them to know you in a real way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for joining us at Now Church. For the latest updates, visit us at nowchurch.com, including live or on-demand video, event registration, online giving, and much more. And don't forget to follow Now Church on our social media platforms, including Facebook and Instagram. And please use the hashtag #NowChurch. Thank you.